We are studying together the subject of Bible prophecy, and we have been going through the book of Revelation verse by verse. In our last study together, we were looking at the paragraph that begins at verse 17 in the 19th chapter. You remember now we have followed God's prophetic program through the 70th week of Daniel. We have seen the great announcements concerning the judgments He has purposed for those who have made the earth their place of permanent abode, and we have also seen His plans working out in preparing Israel for her Messiah. In the 17th chapter, we began to look very critically at the world system. We found that God pictured that system as Babylon, the system for which Jesus Christ refused to pray, the world system that was given to Him, as we saw in the second Psalm, because He purchased it on Calvary's cross, that He might dash it to pieces as a potter destroys a vessel, and that He might rule over it with a rod of iron. We found, first of all, that it appeared to be ecclesiastical, and then we looked at its political and its industrial ramifications in the 18th chapter, bearing in mind that we were looking at the destruction of the same system, the system that God calls the world, and here in the book of Revelation has named Babylon. As we closed out our study of the 18th chapter, we were commanded to rejoice because of these judgments and because of this punishment for sinners. We spent a few moments discussing together the concept of rejoicing over the pouring out of God's judgment. And we found that God is not a revengeful God, but He is a vengeful God. He does not execute revenge as we think of revenge, but He carries out justice. He administers truth and righteousness in His judgment and in His punishment for sin. And we saw that in the last analysis, this is indeed cause for rejoicing. As we began to study the 19th chapter, we looked at the fulfillment of that command to rejoice. We were looking together at the only hallelujahs in the New Testament. We were looking together at the great command that brings about the rejoicing of the hosts of heaven because of Satan's defeat. We saw him cast out of heaven, and then one by one, we saw God pour out judgment upon the bastions that Satan had established against the sovereignty and the power of God, until in the 16th chapter we found the vial poured out against the air. Now Satan has one last stronghold. He has established the beast that we looked at in the 13th chapter as the great world dictator. He has centered himself in that world government and is utilizing this in his stand against God. And in the 11th verse, we found the heavens were open, and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is seen to ride forth seated on a white horse, and the armies which are in heaven followed Him. We found, first of all, that this is the beginning now of the fulfillment of a great line of Old Testament and New Testament prophecy. We found that we are in that army that follow Him, and that there were three names of God referred to in that paragraph: the Word of God, the King of Kings, and the name that no man knoweth. And once again, as we have seen consistently throughout the Word of God, we find God revealing Himself as one God distinct in three personalities. We found that the Lord Jesus Christ was promised in the Messiah. There was a seed promised to David that would not fail to reign upon the throne of David. But all of the Old Testament prophecies look forward to a literal kingdom and a literal king. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ taking the governments and the nations that He has prayed for finally in the second Psalm, that He might dash them to pieces as a potter destroys a vessel. And now He rides forth in righteousness to judge and to make war. How many have stumbled over that concept of the return of Jesus Christ? He comes to judge, and He comes to make war. Ah, dearly beloved, we have tried in many ways among humanity to rule out war as an unholy and an unrighteous thing. And yet we find that throughout the Bible, God has used war to accomplish His ends, and that war in the name of righteousness is not unholy. He comes back to judge, and He comes back to make war. How we thank and praise the Almighty God that we shall not enter into judgment. You read in the Gospel of John that he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ is not condemned. And that word for condemned is the same Greek word that's used here for judge. Those of you who know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior will not enter into judgment. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How we praise God that Christ is the end of the law for us in righteousness, and that salvation is not conditioned upon works of the flesh. Ah, dearly beloved, those you who listen and study the Word of God, we beseech you to see therein that the system of human works has been abolished in Jesus Christ. How insidiously it creeps up on us to establish our reward and our salvation and our sonship and our eternal fellowship with the sovereign God upon human work. What a pitiful spectacle to set beside the sovereignty and the grace of God that was revealed in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our human works. He comes to judge and to make war. But those who know him as their own personal savior are not in that judgment, and they are not condemned. Beginning at the 17th verse, the paragraph there deals with the banquet of flesh. We see here that there's a great announcement made inviting all the birds that fly in mid-heaven to come to the great supper of God, that they might eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men. We noted that as the Lord Jesus Christ returns, in that paragraph beginning at verse 11, he not only deals with the kings of this earth, but also with the hosts of heaven, Isaiah chapter 24. And now we find in the 17th verse an invitation to a banquet of flesh. This also is the fulfillment in one and the same time of this great line of Old Testament prophecy. A couple of studies ago, we gave you some verses to examine in your own Bible study. Let us look in just a little bit more detail today about the line of Old Testament prophecy that deals with this return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to the second chapter of the book of Isaiah. And we will read together some rather extended portions of Scripture which deal with what God's Word has to say about the return of Jesus Christ and this banquet of flesh when he deals with a nation. We'll begin to read at verse 3 of the second chapter of the book of Isaiah. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth a law, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and will decide concerning many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of Jehovah. For thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with customs from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike hands with the children of foreigners. And their land is full of silver and gold, and neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land also is full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man is bowed down, and the great man is brought low. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, from before the terror of Jehovah, and from the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be brought low, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and Jehovah alone shall be exalted in that day. For there shall be a day of Jehovah of hosts, upon all that is proud and haughty, and upon all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every lofty tower, and upon every fortified wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant imagery. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low, and Jehovah alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols shall utterly pass away, and men shall go into the caves of the rocks, and into the holes of the earth, from before the terror of Jehovah, and from the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake mightily the earth. In that day men shall cast away their idols of silver, and their idols of gold, which have been made for them to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the caverns of the rocks, and into the clefts of the jagged rocks, from before the terror of Jehovah, and from the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake mightily the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, or wherein is he to be accounted of? Then turn with me, if you would, to the 10th chapter of Isaiah. And we begin to read in the 12th verse, Wherefore it shall come to pass, that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria, and the glory of his high look. For he hath said, By the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I have understanding, and I have removed the bounds of the people, and have robbed their treasures. And like a valiant man I have brought down them that sit on thrones. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the peoples, and as one gathereth eggs that are forsaken, have I gathered all the earth. And there is none that moved the wing, or that openeth the mouth. mouth or chirp? Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Shall the saw magnify itself against him that wieldeth it? As if a rod should wield them that lift it up, or as if a staff should lift up him that is not wood. Therefore will the Lord Jehovah of hosts send among his fat ones leanness. And under his glory there shall be kindled a burning like the burning of fire. And the light of Israel will be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it will burn and devour his throne and his briars in one day. And he will consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body. And it shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth, and the remnant of the trees of his forest shall be few, so that a child may write them. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and they that are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more lean upon him that smote them, but shall lean upon Jehovah the Holy One of Israel in truth. And a remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them shall return. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. For a full end, and that determined, will the Lord Jehovah of hosts make in the midst of the earth. Therefore thus saith the Lord Jehovah of hosts, O my people that dwelleth in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian, though he smite thee with a rod, and lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation against thee shall be accomplished, and mine anger shall be directed to his destruction. And then turn over with me, if you would, to the 24th chapter of the book of Isaiah. The earth is, beginning at the 5th verse, the earth is polluted under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are found guilty. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry-hearted do sigh, the myrrh of the tabrets cease. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The waste city is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying in the streets because of the wine. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. For thus shall it be in the midst of the earth among the peoples, as the shaking of an olive tree, as the gleanings when the vintage is done. These shall lift up their voice, they shall shout. For the majesty of Jehovah they cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye Jehovah in the east, even the name of Jehovah the God of Israel in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, glory to righteousness. But I said, I pine away, woe is me. The treacherous hath dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous hath dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows on high are open, and the foundations of the earth tremble. The earth is utterly broken, the earth is rent asunder, the earth is shaken violently. The earth shall stagger like a drunken man, and shall sway to and fro like a hammock. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that Jehovah will punish the hosts of the high ones on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison. And after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed. For Jehovah of hosts will reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his elders shall be glory. Turn with me then, if you would, to the 50th chapter of Jeremiah. We begin to read in the 33rd verse, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah are oppressed together, and all that took them captive hold them fast. They refuse to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. Jehovah of hosts is his name. He will thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the earth and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith Jehovah, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the boasters, and they shall become fools. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is a land of graven images, and they are mad over idols. Then we read in the 51st chapter of this same book of Jeremiah, Thus saith Jehovah, Behold, I will rise up against Babylon, against them that dwell in Lebkama, a destroying wind. And I will send unto Babylon strangers that shall winnow her, and they shall empty her land, for in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow, and against him that lifteth himself up in his coat of mail. And spare ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all her hosts. And they shall fall down slain in the land of the Chaldeans, and thrust through in her streets. For Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of Jehovah of hosts. Though their land is full of guilt against the Holy One of Israel, flee out of the midst of Babylon, and save every man his life. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for it is the time of Jehovah's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in Jehovah's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain, if so be she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go every one into his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up to the skies. Jehovah hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of Jehovah our God. Make sharp the arrows, hold firm the shield. Jehovah hath stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. For it is the vengeance of Jehovah, the vengeance of his temple. Set up a standard against the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong. Set the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for Jehovah hath both purposed and done that which he spake concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, the measure of thy covetousness. And then turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Nahum. We begin to read in the second verse of the first chapter, Jehovah is a jealous God and avengeth. Jehovah avengeth and is full of wrath. Jehovah taketh vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Jehovah is slow to anger and great in power, and will by no means clear the guilty. Jehovah hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and in the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. He drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is upheaved at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken asunder by him. Jehovah is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that take refuge in him. But with an overrunning flood he will make a full end of her place, and will pursue his enemies into darkness. What do you devise against Jehovah? He will make a full end. Affliction shall not rise up a second time. Or entangled like thorns, and drunken as with their drink, they are consumed utterly as dry stubble. There is one gone forth out of thee that deviseth evil against Jehovah, that counseleth wickedness. Thus saith Jehovah, though they be in full strength, and likewise many, even so shall they be cut down, and he shall pass away. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. And now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And Jehovah hath given commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sold. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image, and I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Keep thy feast, O Judah. Perform thy vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. He that dasheth in pieces is come up against thee. Keep the fortress, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. For Jehovah restoreth the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and destroyed their vine branches. The shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots flash with steel in the day of his preparation, and the Cyprus spears are brandished. The chariots rage in the streets, they rush to and fro in the broad ways. The appearance of them is like torches, they run like lightning. He remembereth his nobles, they stumble in their march, they make haste to the wall thereof, and the mantle is prepared. The gates of the rivers are opened, and the palace is dissolved. And it is decreed she is uncovered, she is carried away, and her handmaids moan as with a voice of doves feeding upon their breast. We read in Habakkuk, in the first chapter, Behold ye among the nations, and look and wonder marvelously. quickly, for I am working a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told thee. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation that march through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not there. They are terrible and dreadful, their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards, and more, and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen press proudly on. Yea, their horsemen come from far, they fly as an eagle that hasteth to devour. They come all of them for violence. The set of their faces is forward, and they gather captives as the sand. Yea, he scoffeth at kings, and princes are a derision unto him. He derideth every strong hold, for he heapeth up dust and taketh it. Then shall he sweep by as a wind, and shall pass over and be guilty. Even he, whose might is his God. We continue to read in the third verse of the second chapter, for the vision is yet for the appointed time, and it hasteth toward the end and shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and will not delay. Then over in the book of Zechariah, we read in the 12th verse of the 14th chapter, and this shall be the plague wherewith Jehovah will smite all the people that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from Jehovah shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the nations round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse and of the mule and of the camel and of the ass and of all the beasts that shall be in those camps as that plague. Dearly beloved, these are just a few of the manifold prophecies in the Old Testament that deal with the day of Jehovah, as the Lord Jesus Christ rides forth to judge and to make war. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we contemplate that which you have purposed and planned, may it grip our hearts that the time and the talent of each one of us might be thine without reservation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.